Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Great song.
Easier on you now. You've got someone to blame.
It's one love. Oops.
Great song.
In the night,
we're all the same. Got to carry each other.
Carry each other.
Oh.
What a fantastic song.
Good song.
We're one, but we're just the same. You get to carry each other.
Your nose is longer. I'm not that
is
same.
It?
Yeah.
Your nose is my nose. Your nose is definitely longer.
I have it. I've actually got quite a big nose, so I can't really
talk. You call me big nose, I'll bring you to fucking cleaners.
How are you going?
Good. How's it going?
I'm good. Yeah. Good.
That's
good,
it. Good. Once more, and I really will thump you so hard.
I don't know where you get this stuff from.
That
sometimes.
Was The Life of Brian again, mate.
Again, no,
one
I know
can
that.
Can never not quote The Life of Brian.
Oh, you can't. Right? You can't avoid yourself. You can't, oh, I don't even know what I'm saying. You can't avoid quoting The Life of Brian.
I know. Anyway, so that's
it?
A very fitting song. We're going to talk about
a universal law now. We're going to talk about the universal law because everybody keeps saying, we need you to write a book on the universal laws. I'm like, okay, one day.
Yes, we do.
And
I think the only everybody is actually just Tash.
No,
yeah,
it's
continuously.
Not.
Can you
it's actually
in,
not.
Can you come in and just record the laws?
it's not just Tash. But we do love this law. So we're going to talk about the law of the one and the many today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a bit worried about us talking about this law because sometimes I'm a very visual person.
Yeah, me too.
And so when we normally talk about it, we draw pictures and that helps people understand it. So now we're going to have to use our words to describe what your pictures normally depict for everybody, which is fine. We'll get there. But the law of the one and the many is the founding law of all the laws. Isn't that right?
Well, it's the founding law of all universal laws and principles. And, I can never emphasize enough to people why it is so important to understand the laws.
The laws in general or just this law?
If you want to understand every other law, you need to understand this law.
Mm-hmm.
But also the laws in general. People need to understand the importance of universal laws and principles because they are literally the rules of the game. And the degree to which we get emotional and we fuck our lives up is directly proportionate to our ignorance and our lack of understanding of the laws. And when you understand the laws, something quite magical happens is that you start to realize, wow, you know, this thing we call life has actually got rules to it. And when we understand the rules, we get to play the game, you know, in accordance with the rules. And when we do this, we understand, we start to experience the wonderment of nature and how it actually works. You know, we suddenly start to realize that we are in this intrinsic dance with nature, and nature is designed in order for us to live a very full and rich experience. And the degree to which we suffer, i.e. dissipate our energy, lose our focus, all of those things. And when you dissipate energy and lose your focus, you're dissipating and losing your connection with the source of everything. Mm-hmm. And you are everything. You know, you are literally everything, and everything is interconnected. And so the law of the one and the many really allows us to start to practically get our heads around this whole state of connection that we have, that we are all connected. This is the law of the one. But what people don't understand is that the law of the one has an opposing law called the law of the many. And when we put the one and the many together, we get the true nature of the law of the one, and we get the true nature of the law of the many.
So when we were talking about it before, we realized there's so many applications for this. There's so many applications in different areas of life for this law, and just understanding the law is such a... it's empowering because you get, well, basically the foundation of everything that we teach is in this law, right? The foundation of
everything,
the fact that everything that we experience in our polarized existence is us being in the many. And then when you have that moment of enlightenment, you're in that space of one, you know? And so if you understand that concept, you can start to get your head around the concept.
Yeah, but I also think as soon as you start to delve into the explanation of the law of the one, right, and its common application to humans, we can't do that without leaning into talking about the law of conservation. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that without leaning into the law of attraction and repulsion. You can't do that without leaning into the law of circles. So suddenly you start to realize, so all these other laws are intrinsically linked, but they stem from this one law. You understand?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That just naturally happens. So the study, and it's important for people to understand, the study of universal laws and principles is just a remembrance of something that innately sits inside of every single one of us. Mm. And so when you study a law, it becomes, you become very hungry to understand it more, because you realize its application in your life and you feel inspired. Like, hold on, I'm remembering what I am. I'm remembering the source of what I am. And I'm remembering, you know, and you become less emotional. You become more inspirational, because you're realizing as you study laws that, fuck, this whole thing is actually designed for me to do anything I want, have anything I want, relate to anybody I want, connect with anybody I want. Yes. Yes. And the degree to which I don't do that is directly, as I said, related to the amount of ignorance you have about the laws. Mm-hmm. So understanding universal laws and principles is what will set people free.
So, you know,
and that's the only thing we should subordinate to is
well,
universal
that's
laws 100%. And
principles. That's the only thing we should subordinate to. So maybe just explain, what is the law of the one and the many?
So the law of the one and the many, without a bleeding whiteboard.
Whiteboard, I know, I feel a bit lost.
And a pen. The law of the one and the many basically states that from the one source, just from the source of one comes the many. And from the many, we always go back towards the one. So that which comes from the universe, our highest theos, looks back towards it for guidance. And the one is the source of everything, so therefore it's the source of the many.
Yeah.
So from the one to the many, from the many to the one. And every other law is about taking us from the one to the many and back towards the one again. So let's give a practical application.
Well, before you do that, just even in terms of light, in terms of the people who've done work with us,
yep.
that whole concept of the photon, that
yep.
light,
yep.
and then when it splits up to become matter,
yep.
it's dualistic. You have yep. a positive phase and a negative phase.
But it all comes back from the one place.
But it all comes from the one place. But then when that collides together, it goes yep. back to the one.
Yeah. So when
is
you have two particles and you collide them together, you create light, which is the source of everything, which is the source of what we are.
Mm-hmm.
You break a human form down into a subatomic particle. Once you go on to, you know, subatomic, once you go beyond the atom, you are now talking about quantum laws.
Mm-hmm.
And so quantum laws are an explanation of light. Quantum laws are very different to classical laws.
Mm-hmm.
Quantum laws are really the rules of the game. Classical laws are the rules by which how you play practical physical world. Quantum mm. laws are to do with how you are creating the physical world.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? So once you've created the physical world, now to operate within the physical world, you need to understand the classical laws. You know, gravity, action, reaction, these are classical laws.
Yeah.
But quantum laws are about our ability to create, you know, from a wave to a particle. They're mm. about our ability to create our reality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so both are very important law explanations. They're both intrinsic in how we create a reality
mm-hmm.
and how we live within the reality that we're creating.
Mm-hmm.
But one is really enabling us to create reality, and the other is allowing us to act within our own creation in a way
mm.
that is congruent with the source of what we are, which is just one. We are just one.
So this is really important when we're thinking, because I wasn't actually thinking about it like this, but when we're thinking about everything that's going on at the moment in the world
mm-hmm.
and we're thinking about the separation
well,
and
we
the
have
segregation.
To say, everything that's going on at any moment in the world.
At any moment in the world.
Not just
now. You're
yeah.
right. You're right. But it feels like it's brought to the forefront a little bit at the moment about
mm-hmm.
that separation a little bit.
Yeah.
That people feel that there may be more So before I get into that, realistically what you're saying is that when you're in that space, that source place,
mm-hmm.
you're with the one.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about that, the intention is to put a visualization of something being integrated and fully whole and fully mm-hmm. aligned. And what that means is not something that says I love myself except
yeah.
I don't like this, this and this. No, it's like fully integrated as, yeah. Let's say, a human form.
Yeah.
And then the opposite side of that, the many,
yeah.
when you're with the many,
yeah.
it's more of a fractured yeah. kind of and like the analogy of being really integrated or being really fractured. Mm. Is that what we're saying?
Well, yes, but you can't love the self without loving the many.
Well, of course. So that if it, oh, this is good too, right? So then what we're saying is that in order to have that full integration,
yeah.
You've got to access that through the many, which is mm-hmm. the fractured part, so that you can love the kind and the mean. You yep. can love the cruel and the kind. You can love the ugly and the beautiful.
Yep.
You can love the control and the passiveness.
The shadow and the light.
The shadow, you know, and the light, yep. all of those sides. So that's a very important point, because people want to be integrated, but they don't want to have that practical experience of that. So the one is that place, that source place.
Yeah.
Well, but we so need to be in that fractured place in order to access that.
Yes. Well, if a way in which we explain it in Master Money, Money, Relationships and You is that, we'll the word God, which means generator, orchestrator, destroyer, or grand organizing designer, is omnipotent, omnipresent, pure potentiality, pure intelligence. It is just one source of all knowing. But so that is just pure energy. It's just pure theory. Mm-hmm. And theory without the practical example of itself doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. It holds no weight. Mm-hmm. So for pure theory, pure God force, pure energy to fully actualize, meaning to know itself as a whole, it has to devolve down. The process of devolving down is known as the law of entropy. So it entropically devolves down to split and separate. So to experience itself as a whole. So where that pure energy devolves down, as it devolves down, it becomes denser. The word dense it slows down in its vibrational frequency, where it starts to formalize, where light becomes matter, where form takes life. And the process of devolving down, where light becomes matter, is a devolutionary process, and it's we become denser. The word dense simply means ignorance, the ignorance of the source of what we actually are. Mm. So we forget what we are. So theory without the physical practical example of itself doesn't mean anything. As I say all the time, you can have read as many books on what it is to be successful, but until you actually experience the win, what you read doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You can have read as many books on what it is to jump off jump out of an airplane, but until you jump out of the airplane, what you read doesn't mean anything. You can have read as many books on what it is to be loved, but until you experience your first kiss and your first heartbreak, mm-hmm. what you read doesn't mean anything. So we are a practical example, physical, practical, fractured example of the one.
Yes.
In the state of the many.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Humankind is in a state of a many. And we're in a state of ignorance because we don't realize that I am you and you are me. If you understood that, you wouldn't try to harm another human being.
Yes.
So what we watch happen in society now is we are watching people, and this has been happening all the time. It's just very evident right now. People fighting over different things. You know, you have the vaxxers trying to fight against the anti-vaxxers, and the anti-vaxxers trying to fight against the vaxxers, but they're both trying to preserve the same thing,
mm-hmm.
which is they're both trying to fucking preserve the
mortal self. They're both opposite elements of the same source.
Yeah.
We say it all the time. Well, you can label it hot water or you can label it cold water, but ultimately it's just water.
It's just water.
It's just water. So everything that we have is just a label. So you label something hot or cold, that's when you fractured it.
Mm.
And then once you fractured it, until you can see it as just water,
mm.
then you are in that space of being with the many.
Yeah.
So
and you think you're separate, single, solitary soul, correct. Operating in a world where you're alone and you're not backed and nothing is there for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. So just let me finish that thought just to make it like consolidate it. So how that relates to a human being is that you can call them happy or sad.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter because they're both varying degrees of the same thing. Instead of water, in this case, it's love.
Yeah.
Peace and war are varying degrees of the same thing. It's love.
Well, and but
rich
also,
and poor is varying degrees of the same thing. It's love.
It's just love. But
vaxxed
but
and unvaxxed.
It's just a varying degree of love. Everybody exactly. trying to protect the mortal self. But, you know, happy and sad are really ignorant labels of the source of what we are.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So when people is like, oh, they're really happy, they're actually, what they're saying is, oh, they're really fractured.
Yes.
Oh, they're really sad. What they're saying is, oh, they're really fractured.
Correct.
They're fractured parts. And the more we pursue the fractured, the more we lose the source of what we are.
Very good. I love that. So I really like that.
So your objective at any one time is to understand that happiness and sadness are varying degrees of the same thing. And what they're varying degrees of is just your experience of what you truly are, which is you're just love. Mm-hmm. So when you're happy, you're not in love.
Yeah.
When you're sad, you experience that. So people think, oh, I'm sad, I just want to be happy so I can be in love. Happiness and love are mutually exclusive to one another.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, when we're truly in love, we realize that we are every emotion. We mm-hmm. realize that we are, you know, an ocean of emotion. We are no longer the single solitary soul operating in a human form, trying to get around here and make sense of things. When we're in that state of oneness and we understand the immortal nature of what we are, that we are just love, we are just energy. We've been here many, many times. Why? And people think, oh, fucking, here we go. He's talking about, you know, afterlife and blah, blah, blah. I'm not. I'm saying that you are energy. Energy is eternally conserved. That is science. That is physics. That is not hocus pocus. That is what you are. You are light, and light is eternal. It cannot be built and destroyed. So that means you are just in a form for a momentary time in a fractured state, ignoring the source of what you are and suffering accordingly.
Yeah.
And so if you don't want to suffer accordingly, you won't need to. Your objective is to love every part of yourself. So how do we get back to the one? You got to love every part of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, we were having a great conversation with someone today, and he was talking about, you know, your partner is just showing you the parts of yourself that you are destined to understand about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know that, and you, because you don't want to understand it, you label it in another. But yeah, that's a really fractured, disempowered state. You know this, because when you're doing that, you're in a state of depression, mm-hmm. or you're in a state of elation. You're in a state of that momentary, fractured, primitive, mortal part of yourself. Mm-hmm. So what you watch happen then is you watch people fight over their mortal lives at the fucking cost of their immortal nature of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we all understood that we were just light, all of these petty things that are going on in the world, you know, about diseases and blah, 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 if we understood what we were, we would no longer play into that game mm-hmm. anymore. That game that we get played, you know, the two types of ants in the jar, who's shaking the fucking jar,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're killing each other. You're shaking the jar. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you're picking up the jar in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, remember your divinity. You remember your immortality
mm-hmm.
and do it at the cost of your mortal self.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather people understand who they are, have a mortal view for their lives, a mortal view for how they want to leave life and what they want to do for the world, be very attached to their theos, to their telos, and to know that they are going to leave this place a better space and focus on that. Do you know what I mean? Focus
on,
and we're all at the fucking mercy of it. We all fall into that trap mm-hmm. of, you know, not being caught up in the many.
Yeah, yeah.
But the closer you are to the one, the more integrated the individual, the more empowered the individual, the more influential the individual.
100%. So this is where the law of the many comes in terms of, because it has applications practically in every area of our lives, the law of the one and the many, right?
Mm.
And when you consider in terms of career, we use it in terms of teaching people about finances, mm-hmm. right? Because when people have a vision and a reason for their lives, you know, we call it our vision, you know, or our mission, which is one of the things we obviously teach. But when you have a mission for your life, if you've got the one vision and the one calling, you are going to attract the many.
Yeah.
If you are fractured and in pain and scattered around trying to find your mission, you are not with the one. So the one and the many practical application in career is understanding that you have a one purpose and one calling, and focusing in and being integrated in your whole self towards that calling.
Mm.
So you're not scattering around over here or over here or over here trying to be all of the things. You have the one outcome.
Yeah.
You know, you have that one purpose. So, you know, people could easily mistake your purpose. This is another conversation we just had today. Like, they could mistake our purpose thinking that we just run seminars, right, mindset seminars or something like that. But that's not what we do. Our job is to help people get that they are loved and that they to help them to live an inspired life. But that access point is getting them to a point where they get that they were loved the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
Let's say something over here, if I'm integrated with that mission, then it doesn't matter how I get to that mission. More people, when I'm clear about that's the outcome, this is where I want to be, this is, people are going to want to come in, they want to buy a product, buy a service, invest in you, hang out with you, spend time with you, because you are clear and focused, you're integrated with the one. If you're not, if you're scattered and with the many and you don't have an outcome and you don't have a purpose, then you stick with the many. So the law of the one, the many in career is when you focus on the one, you attract the many. When you're with the many, you lose the one, right? Just, where is your one purpose, your one calling? It's gone because you're just focused in on all these different things. The book, The One Thing, is a great example of having that one perfect like goal here. This is the one big thing I have to do today. When you focus like that, everything comes together to help you. The many is there to assist you. So that's a practical application in terms of career, right?
And a cool way to look at it as well is, you know, in terms of career, you know, I've said it forever to my clients, you know, dig one well, dig it deep, and
that's
dig
another
it well,
thing,
right?
Yeah, we say, yeah.
So what I mean by that is if you can imagine a kid on a beach, right? And what he does is he gets his little shovel out and he starts to dig a well, right? And then he hits water. And then what happens? One of the other kids sees him doing it. So they come over and they want to help as well. So they start to dig it out. So now you got another kid doing it. And then they put their feet in it and they've dug one well, they've dug it deep and they've dug it well. And then they keep going. And
other
then all
people
the other
are attracted
kids,
to it.
Other kids want to come over. Other people, parents look over, see the kids playing there. That's how people have to see what that means. Dig one well, dig it deep and dig it well. And if you kept going, you'd have a massive influence on everybody that's sitting
that's
on the beach.
That's around you.
That's
100%.
Around you. You know?
So we always use the story of the Taj Mahal and and him, you know, having that outcome. Having that outcome of creating that for his wife. And then he, because he was so clear and so set on what his outcome was, people came from around the world and invested their time, their energy into doing that, and he just changed everything for that province there in India, right, in Agra, because it just brought so much.
And you can't go anywhere in India and not see where the architecture is influenced by the Mughals, but also by Shahan Jahan and his, you know, and you know, it makes up, I think it makes up something like tourism makes up 3% of the GDP. But, and most people go to India, you know, for a couple of reasons. Either to go up into the Himalaya, with the yogis up in the Lakshmanjula, to go to New Delhi, go to Mumbai, and then of every time, it's to go to Agra.
It's Taj Mahal, yeah.
It's to see the Taj,
been
you know.
I've seen it a million times now.
Like a bazillion times.
Yeah,
and every time I see it, I'm like, this is fucking incredible. Like, this is just bonkers. Like,
every time I see it, I'm like, when I'm due to go see it, I'm like, I've seen it, I don't need to see it again. And then when I'm there, I'm like, wow, this is fucking phenomenal. Like,
yeah,
it's
amazing,
really
yeah.
like, and you, it's not that you forget, but you kind of do. It's like, it's like because I've been there, you forget the magnificence until you're there and you see all the, you know, and this
but
is just.
But it seemed like with Disney, you know, you got to fucking Disney. And like I thought, oh, I'm going to go to Disney World and blah, blah, blah. And I'd been to Disney. But when you go to Disneyland or Disney World, right? My God, it's like there's not one stone in place
that isn't meant to be there.
Meant to be there and is not part of Walt Disney's original vision, you know? And like that's, you just, and it's 60 square kilometers of theme park and everything is designed to do that. And it was all just based around one vision, you know? Mm-hmm. He sat on a train and drew a mouse and the mouse became Mickey Mouse and he knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to be able to create a space for people to come and have fun and connect and do all and just escape, you know, everyday life, you know?
Talk about the one and the many in terms of relationships. How does it work in terms of like finding a relationship, wanting to be with the one?
Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is, you know, when you want to be with the one and you look for the one and you're only hunting for the one, and when you find that one, what happens is one person becomes the same as the other person. You're looking for the one because you're looking for the person that's going to complement all of you. And that's delusional.
It's delusional,
yeah. You have to have a balance of opposing parts, you know.
75-25.
So really what you're looking for is to know that you don't want to be the one and you don't want to be with the many. You want to be in love. And to be in love goes, I don't want to be with the one because if I'm with the one, then I lose the person I'm with because you don't want to go out with yourself because you would never want to go out with it because you're repulsed by half yourself. So you're best to find someone that you pull close to you that helps you love those parts of yourself that you haven't learned to love yet.
So you've got 25% of support. So you've got 25% of overlapping values with the partner.
Yeah.
And the thing is that the one and the many is perfectly balanced in a relationship when you, picturing the drawing because we're using our hands a lot because we haven't got paper to draw on here, but just that overlap, that perfect overlap with that with the sacral geometry piece, the vesica Pisces, right, where it's just perfectly centered. There's me, there's you, and then in the middle, that overlapping 25% forms the relationship, and that's relationships with anybody. So if you're with the many, right, and you're trying to find the one, what's the issue there?
Well, because you have unrealistic expectations.
On other people on to other people. Meet that vision of yourself that this other person is going to meet, be, Matt, tick all these boxes and it's going to, right.
Yeah, and then when you meet the person that you perceive as your soulmate and you give up all the things that are important to you and you end up losing you and adopting their values, then you become the same as the other person.
So you're looking for the many then.
So now you start looking at the many again because you're repulsed by the person you're now with. Because when you go out with yourself, you're repulsed by half of yourself.
So the answer then is to understand.
Took me a long time to get my head around that.
Yeah.
You know, because when you give up all your values and you start going out with yourself, right, because you're repulsed by half of yourself, you lose the relationship. That's why relationships break up. And you start looking for the many again that you think are only going to complement half of who you are.
Yeah. So the repulsed by half of yourself is that there's always the shadow and the light. There's always a balance of what we love and what we don't love. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So, I've lost my train of thought. So I think this is what I was going to say. The answer then or the outcome in a relationship is to get to that one place within you.
Yeah.
Right? It's not about the other person.
No.
That other person. So you are complete with or without another person.
Yes, yeah.
And then the other person that comes...
because you love your loved parts and you love your unloved parts.
So the other person isn't there to complete you. It's there. They're there to complement you.
That's right.
And to help you to love some of those unloved parts.
That's right.
Like, so that they're there to show you, mirror back to you the things that you haven't learned to love. Now, if you're not aware of that, you will try and find the delusion in another person, the delusion of this perfectness in another person. Because a true perfect relationship is imperfect in the fact that you're not...
It's perfect in its imperfectness.
In its imperfectness, simply because of the fact that you're not expecting everybody to be, or the other person to be everything.
Yeah, but you have to have push-pull in the relationship. 100%. That's what friction is there for. You know, if the penis was just to go into the vagina and not
there
do anything,
there'd be no fun, would it?
There'd be no fun. It has to pull away and push in. Yeah. So you need the equal balance of pull close and push away.
Yeah.
Support and challenge. That is the purpose of life, to take you back to that one state of equanimity.
So we were also talking about the fact that in the law of the one and the many, we can look at it in terms of always finding that the thing, one of the applications of that law is understanding that everything is around you. It can be either focused in one place or dispersed in many. So if we're experiencing focused pain, like pain in our back or pain in our neck, we have dispersed pleasure. That's the many. The dispersed pleasure might be, okay, well, I get to take time off work. I get the love and the care of the people who look after me. I get attention. I get whatever the folk, like they're smaller bits because the pain feels bigger because it's like there, but in equal amounts it's balanced by the dispersed pleasure. And then by the reverse way, you can have a focused pleasure and dispersed pain. So let's say the back clears up and you've got, you know, no pain in your back anymore, but then the dispersed, so that's the focused pleasure. The dispersed pain is that you've got to end up going back to work, people aren't looking after you anymore, et cetera. Spend the money, you've got to pay the bills to the people that helped you get back to that place. So it's everything in your life is either focused or dispersed. And that is another representation of the Lord and the Mani. So if you're seeing in your life something really focused, mm-hmm. like focused war or focused, what else?
Rejection.
Focused pleasure, whatever. You got to look at, okay, where's the dispersed peace?
Mm.
Where's the dispersed pain? Where's the dispersed, you know, what's the other side of it and where is it around you? Because the law of the one and the many states that it has to be there,
yeah.
because it's both. It has to be there.
But what the other thing is that when you have a focused pleasure and you look or focused pain and you look for the dispersed pleasure, it dissipates the pain.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because it balances it out.
You suddenly realize, oh shit, yeah. okay. And it's same with the other way around. If you know that you're getting a focused pleasure all the time. You're ignoring the pain that's going to come and find you.
Yeah.
So every pleasure comes at a cost.
So if you
chase the delusion of there's a place where I can get pleasure without any pain, or pleasure without any cost, that's crazy. Mm. So the best thing for you to do is stay in a state of equanimity, and go, okay, if this is giving me loads of pleasure, what's its cost? Where is it costing me in time, connection, wherever that is?
It's always finding the balance.
Mm.
So. If you were to summarize how people can like or even, yeah, just how people, how you can live in abiding by this law, how do you do that? How do you abide by the law of the one and the many? How do you live your life in accordance with that? Well, is it about being integrated? Is it about finding that
if some one person is having a go at you, ask where's the many that are loving you?
Right.
You know, if there's one financial pain, push your mind to see where the financial pleasure is in that.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
So ask yourself questions that help you to get back into a state of equanimity, and you'll realize then that the thing that you thought was a pain was actually neither.
Oh, so I've just realized that actually. So what we're doing, let me see if I've connected this correctly. So basically. When we're focusing in on the pain or when we're focusing in on the one thing and we're avoiding looking at that, we're either in the one or the many. Understanding the both brings that perfect balance back, that mm-hmm. perfect relationship balance back where you realize it's neither.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one or the other.
Yeah.
And so from that point you realize, oh, okay.
That it's all about you.
It's all about you, but it's also like – you're not living from that state of it's got to be perfect, this perfectly integrated one thing. And it's also, I'm not here in the many, I'm like somewhere in between almost. It's
And understanding in that moment that the perfection is in the perception of imperfection.
Mm, it's a very important line, I think.
If you understand that everything is perfectly imperfect, that's what perfection is. Because you can't understand perfection without imperfection.
Yeah, you can't have the experience of love without having the experience. Or I used to say it to my kids when I was teaching, how do you know you're happy?
Yeah.
You don't know you're happy unless you've experienced dadness, you know?
Yeah.
How do you know? Well, because you've had the other side. So in order to understand that integration, you have to have experienced the physical reality of both, and that helps you to integrate further. So you want to embrace experiences.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And you can never understand what it is to be together until you've been apart.
Yeah.
You can never have an appreciation of what it is to be loved until you experience what it is to be have your heart broken.
I've just remembered. Let me see if I can find it. There's like a poem somewhere that is all about like exactly that. I wish you enough, you know. It's like, I wish you enough sun to keep you. Oh no, I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough pain to the smallest joys that you experience the joy like you. It's like you have to have those parts, you know. You have to have that happening. That's really good. I feel like. Do you feel like you've explained that law well?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to go on forever with it. But without a whiteboard and a pen, it's
a bit different. Can we? I don't know if you're going to want me to do this, but what do you remember when? Because you know we do one of our big seminars, and we talk about all the laws.
Yeah.
And then one time, you had a little guest.
I did,
on the at your I event. Did, yes. Do you want to tell that story?
Yes, I will. Okay, so basically what had happened was it was my birthday and I'd been taking the mickey out of... I had a mate in who'd come into the seminar, who a female friend who I'd known from many, many years before. And her name was Trina, but we nicknamed her Trixie because she was always up to no good. And
this was years ago. This is like...
And it was my birthday through the STP.
It was that last time.
And Trixie was always up to no good. And everybody was acting a bit weird in the morning of the event. I'm like, why is everybody acting so weird? And then next of all, Trixie grabs hold of the microphone. She's walking up and down the back of the room. And then next minute, she's like, Mitch, if it walks like a duck and it acts like a duck, it's a duck. And next of all, this... male stripper walks into the seminar and looks over at me, and I look at Trixie and the colour just drops out of me, and I'm like, I'm looking at Amelia and I'm thinking, I'm gonna, for allowing this to happen in an event, I'm gonna kill you. Next of all, I've never seen so many clients leap over chairs and stools and look just to try get their cameras out to take pictures of a stripper doing a strip for me. I'm sat down on this chair.
The reason being is, I mean, we don't have to tell the full story, but it's just the end of it that's related,
yeah, the
right?
End of it.
But the reason being,
yeah,
is because you looked so green, like you were like, well, yeah, green, white, you, like, yeah, all the colour had faded out of you, and I was like, oh my god. And
so long story short, the stripper ends up putting me on the ground on a towel. Right?
He had a towel on.
I'm lying on the ground, and he comes over and he teabags me. Are you kidding me? And then I'm like, oh my god. And I'm in the car then, and I'm heading out for lunch, and I'm fuming. And I've got Dean Powell is in the back of the car, and you're in the passenger seat, and I'm just really mad. I'm like, I can't believe that just happened.
And cut the tension with a knife. Yeah,
and then Dean leans forward in between the two seats, and he looks at me and he goes, hey Mitch. And I'm like, yeah. He says, you know when the stripper teabagged you? And I'm like, yes. And he goes, was that the law of the one and the many? And it just broke you. We just burst out laughing. It was just like, it was just a thing we needed to hear.
But thank you, Dean, because he would have killed me otherwise.
I was just about to open the door and kick Millsy out of the car doing 60 kilometres an hour up Wanneroo Road.
Oh my goodness. There you go. Told the story.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.